Sometime later, the jungle fell suddenly away before them, to reveal a large clearing with a huge stone castle in its center. Owen raised an arm to protect his eyes from the direct glare of the sun. The heat was almost blistering away from the protection of the jungle canopy, but he held his ground. He'd come a long way to be here. And besides, it felt good not to have to worry about which direction an attack might come from next. The creatures of the jungle were always there, close at hand, watching and following. Owen's back ached from the constant tension and anticipation of an attack. He lowered his sword and leaned on it gratefully as he studied the castle in the clearing. It was a huge structure, rising up high enough to hide the jungle behind it, and composed of uncomfortably large blocks of dull gray stone. There were tall, thin towers with pointed roofs and crenellated battlements. There was no sign of any activity or any light at any of the small slit windows, and the single great door was closed. And on top of all that, the whole castle seemed slightly out of focus, seen through the faint shimmer of the force shield that surrounded it. For a long time, nobody said anything. Owen looked up at the sky. The sun was blood red and sinking down toward the tops of the trees. Not long now till night, and whatever new creatures prowled in it.
So that's the last standing of your ancestor, Owen. I'm impressed. How the hell did he manage to build something like that on a planet like this?
It wasn't exactly what I was expecting. He must have had help of some kind.
Right. In case you hadn't noticed, the boundaries of this clearing are extremely distinct, which suggests it was probably cut using energy weapons. Still doesn't explain where he found all that stone, though. Must have a quarry somewhere. Then who worked in it?
They stared at the castle in silence for a while. The force shield's another complication I wasn't expecting. The only way to lower a shield like that is from the inside, and we've no guarantee there's any living soul left in there. Since the shield's still up, I think we can safely assume there's some degree of automation. Computers running things on a low-priority basis.
Must have an amazing power source in there, to be still running things after all these years.
Unless somebody else got here first.
They all considered that.
The beasts of the jungle acted like they'd encountered energy weapons before, and they stopped bothering us the closer we got to the castle in the clearing. If the Empire got here first,
then we're in real trouble. Nothing could beat my ship here.
Only one way to find out.
And Ruby stepped out into the clearing, gun in one hand, sword in the other. Two bright glows appeared in windows on either side of the great door. Hazel threw herself at Ruby and knocked her to the ground, and two disruptor beams flashed through the air where she'd been standing and incinerated the trees behind her. They burned fiercely for a moment, and then the flames died down and flickered out. The charred wood smoked gently.
Tough trees.
Like everything else on this planet. You girls all right?
We are not girls.
That's for sure.
Hazel dragged Ruby back into the shelter of the trees and helped her to her feet. Ruby didn't even nod her thanks, her cold eyes fixed on the castle. The two glows on either side of the door were still there. Ruby raised her gun and then lowered it again.
Top of the line, force shield. That's energy beams out without having to drop the field first. Must use a hell of a lot of power to cover something that large. Certainly we haven't got any weapon that'll bother it.
I think we can safely assume that whoever's in there, they're not feeling friendly.
Hazel brushed grass and insects from her clothes.
I don't know. Those are the feel of warning shots. A computerized defense system would have tracked you no matter how fast you moved, and kept on firing till it was sure its target had been eliminated.
So what do we do next? Apart from suicide tactics.
She glared at Ruby, who was still ignoring her.
Communicate. People or machines, they might respond to contact.
It might also give them something to aim their guns at.
She has a point.
We can't just stand around here. In case you've forgotten, we've nowhere else to go except the castle.
Either we find a way in, or we live in the jungle.
Which doesn't exactly appeal to me. I'm going to go out there unarmed and talk to them.
If those are my ancestors' computers, they might react to me. I am a Deathstalker, after all.
You go right ahead. Personally, I'm going to find something large to hide behind.
Owen smiled and couldn't help noticing she didn't make a move as he stepped cautiously out into the clearing. He put away his gun and his sword and held up his hands to show they were empty. He cleared his throat carefully. He didn't want to be misunderstood.
I am Owen, first of Clan Deathstalker. I come to you in need and danger, and call upon you for sanctuary. I bear my family's ring.
He held the hand forward so that the castle censors could get a clear look at it. Sweat was running down his face again, and it wasn't from the blazing heat of the open clearing. A light appeared in another window, and he had to fight not to flinch. And then, all the lights went out, and the force shield snapped off just in front of the door, leaving a clear tunnel open in the shield. Owen blinked and looked back at the others.
I think that's an invitation. Let's move it before they change their minds. And people, put away your weapons.
The rest of the party emerged cautiously from the edge of the jungle and took in the break in the force shield as they reluctantly sheathed their weapons.
That is not possible. You can't just lower part of a force shield like that. The field would collapse.
Impossible or not, it's there. May I suggest we use it before it disappears and leaves us stranded here?
Of course. After you.
Oh, it's your family and your castle. After you.
Owen smiled briefly and walked out into the clearing. He could feel the presence of the force shield on either side of him. So close he could have reached out his arms and touched it. Little runs of static moved in his clothes and sparked in his hair. He took a deep breath and kept walking. He could hear the others moving close behind him, but he didn't turn to look. It might make him appear nervous, and he had a feeling this would be a bad time to appear to be weak. The castle grew bigger the closer he got to it, until it was looming over him like a mountain. The sheer scale of the place and the massive size of the stone blocks made his head ache. He couldn't imagine the army of people and technology it must have taken to build the Last Standing, starting from scratch on a new planet. There were still no lights at any of the windows, no sign of life. He still had the feeling he was being watched. He finally came to a halt before the only door and stared at it thoughtfully. 10 feet tall, 6 feet wide, solid wood studded with some kind of crimson metal, like drops of blood. A disruptor would probably tear right through it, but it looked like it would stop anything else. The others crowded in around him.
What do we do now?
Knock, very politely.
We may have to. There's no handle or any sensor that I can see.
Probably doesn't get many visitors out here.
I don't want to worry anyone, but the force field has reestablished itself behind us. We're trapped.
For someone who didn't want to worry us, I'd say you've managed very well.
I could break the door down.
Thanks for the thought, but no. The last thing we want to do right now is make a bad impression. Those energy guns are probably still trained on us, and I don't want whoever's behind them feeling nervous. If you want to be useful, Moon, try talking to the castle. If there are computers inside the standing, you might be able to communicate with them. Moon nodded and frowned slightly, concentrating. In that moment, much of the humanity went out of the Hayden man's face, dominated by the blazing golden eyes, and Owen fought down a sudden impulse to shiver. Moon's face cleared, and he looked at Owen.
Nothing. If there are any computers in there, either they're not listening or they're not talking.
Show your ring to the sensors again. That got a response last time.
Owen lifted his hand and showed it a little self-consciously to the windows above the door. No light showed, and he'd started to lower his hand again, when suddenly he was somewhere else. There was no warning or sense of transition. One moment he was standing before the door, and the next he was in a great hall, presumably inside the standing. It stretched away before him, incredibly long and wide, and completely deserted. An army could have drilled in the hall, or a full clan gathering could have danced in it, but there was no sign of any life,
save for the lights shining overhead. There was no fire in the great marble fireplace, but the floor had been recently waxed and polished, and there was no trace of dust anywhere. The others were suddenly in the hall with him, looking almost as confused as he felt.
What the hell just happened?
Hazel dropped one hand to the gun at her side. Transfer portal. I've heard about them, but never expected to encounter a working one. They were created centuries ago. Instant teleportation between two places to save the aristocracy the bother of actually having to travel from one place to another. They never caught on because of the massive amounts of power involved, and because they were a security nightmare. Then Espers came in and replaced them. No power sources required, and a damn sight cheaper to run. The Empire's always had a fondness for slave labor over machinery. This place must have a hell of a power source hidden away somewhere, if it can still operate a transfer portal after all this time.
940 years. Whoever built this standing built it to last.
I've just had a really nasty thought. If this place is being run by computers, could it have been taken over by the AIs from Shub? They're supposed to have all kinds of technology that we don't.
You're right. That is a nasty thought. If you've any more like that, feel free to keep them to yourself. Things are tricky enough as it is without us getting paranoid. We're a long way from Shub, and the last I heard, the enemies of humanity were safely tucked away behind an Imperial blockade. Let's all please concentrate on the matter at hand.
You got us in here, Deathstalker. What say you lead us to this ancestor of yours? I've got a few questions I wouldn't mind putting to him.
All right. Owen tried hard to sound confident. Follow me. He strode off down the great hall, the echoes of his footsteps sounding loud and flat in the silence. The others moved quickly after him, not wanting to be left behind, trying very hard to look casual and unimpressed. Owen allowed his hand to rest quietly near his gun. He wasn't sure what he'd been expecting to find at his ancestor's legendary last standing, but this wasn't it. This immense castle wasn't the last refuge of a desperate man, driven and harried to a planet light years from civilization. This was a power base, designed for survival against overwhelming odds, a place to strike back from. But he never had. He had all this power at his command, but instead he chose to hide himself away in stasis, waiting for an awakening that never came. Owen frowned. Presumably the Empire had been just as overwhelming an enemy then as it was now, but Owen had a strong feeling he didn't have anything like the whole story. He strode on, trying to look confident and unthreatening at the same time. He was pretty damn sure the standing had just as many security measures inside as it did outside. He reached the other end of the hall without incident, stepped through the open door, and found himself somewhere else, completely unconnected to the hall. He just passed through another transfer portal. It didn't take Owen and the rest of his party long to discover two important things about the portals. One, every door in the castle was a portal leading somewhere unexpected, and two, you couldn't go back through the door to wherever you'd just come from. And so, the party jumped blindly from room to room, passing ever deeper into the depths of the last standing. Owen kept himself oriented with his internal compass, but he had no way of knowing exactly where in the castle he was at any given time, or how to get out of it. All the rooms were perfectly clean and brightly lit, but with nothing to show they had ever been lived in. Owen became increasingly convinced that they were being watched at all times, but couldn't spot anything that might have been a sensor. Whoever was controlling the portals apparently had some destination in mind, but where and why remained a mystery. Owen kept walking and tried very hard to be patient. He had a strong suspicion that even if he had felt like being awkward, it wouldn't have made any difference. He was in someone else's hands now, for better or worse. He tried to keep his hand near his gun without being too obvious about it. They passed through room after room, all of them devoid of interest or personality. No fixtures or fittings, no comforts of any kind. Owen became increasingly convinced that no one had ever lived in the castle.
until finally they came to what Owen immediately thought of as a trophy room. Unlike the other rooms, this one was of a more comfortable size, though its contents were anything but comforting. A large glass case took up the center of the room, some 10 feet square, and in that case, like trophies on display, stood three men in outdated battle armor. They were so still that Owen first thought they were models of some kind, but when he moved forward and pressed his nose against the glass, he quickly became convinced they were real. Their poses were stiff, their faces were blank, and there were bloody holes in their armor.
They're dead, aren't they? I thought at first they were in stasis, but there's no trace of any equipment.
They're preserved in some way. I'd kill for a closer look at them.
No problem.
Owen whirled around, gun in hand, every muscle tensed for an attack that never came. He slowly relaxed and turned back to the Hayden man.
Moon, if I wanted a heart attack, I'd play Russian roulette with a fully charged disruptor. Don't do anything else without checking with me first. You could have set off some kind of security system.
We need information.
Moon seemed entirely unfazed by the anger in Owen's voice. He stepped through the wreckage of the glass wall, splinters crunching under his boots, and studied the figures closely. Randa moved in quickly after him, followed by Hazel and Ruby. Owen decided he wasn't doing any good just standing outside on his own, shook his head resignedly, and entered the glass case himself. Up close, the three figures looked even more disturbing. Moon prodded one with his finger, and it rocked gently on its feet.
What the hell are they?
Hazel seemed afraid they might hear her.
It's not stasis, whatever it is.
They're preserved. They died, violently, according to the evidence. And then their insides were removed, and some kind of preservative material was pumped inside them.
How can you tell?
I can smell the chemicals, and there are telltale signs in the skin if you know what to look for.
Owen decided not to ask how the Hayden man knew which signs to look for. He didn't think he really wanted to know.
Who do you suppose they were?
According to the family histories, my ancestor, the original Deathstalker, was pursued here by three of the greatest mercenary assassins of their time, the infamous Shadow Men. They were never heard of again. Apparently they did catch up with their prey after all.
You mean he killed them and then had them preserved and mounted as trophies? Nasty sense of humor your ancestor had, Owen. Or was this usual for the time?
No. No, it wasn't. They left the shattered case and moved on, heading still deeper into the standing. They all had a gun or a sword in their hands now. It was like walking through a gigantic trap, waiting for the punchline. They stepped into the next portal and vanished. Owen stepped out of the transfer portal and found himself in a world of ice. 3 inches of snow covered the floor. Long icicles hung down from the high ceiling, and thick hoarfrost made whorled patterns on the walls. It was bitterly cold, and Owen shuddered convulsively. He pulled his cloak tightly about him, folded his arms across his chest, and watched his breath steam on the air as he tried to stop shivering. The others appeared behind him, and they all huddled together for warmth. Except Moon, who didn't seem at all bothered. Owen's thoughts slowly returned to him, having been driven aside for a moment by the sudden shock of the cold, and he looked about him. The air was crisp and sharp, with only a slight haze of mist. The room wasn't all that large compared to some of the rooms he'd walked through to get here, but it gave the impression of great size, as though the walls were not strong enough to contain everything the room held. In the middle of the room, a bright shimmering light shone from the floor to the ceiling. A silver pillar of illumination. And in that pillar was a man, standing unnaturally still, held in the light like a butterfly transfixed on a pin. Owen walked slowly forward, impelled by an impulse that was half curiosity and half awe. The snow crunched loudly under his boots. and he realized he was the first person to break the surface of the snow since it had first fallen, some 900 years earlier. He felt in a strange way as though he had stepped back in time when he entered this room, stepped into an earlier age when the Empire was still fresh and new, the product of great men and women, carved from the unfeeling emptiness of space with courage and audacity. There were heroes and villains in those days, when events were larger than life and everything had the stamp of greatness. Giants walked the stage of Empire then, and this was one of them. Owen stopped just short of the silver pillar and studied the man within. He was as tall as Owen, but sparsely built, though his arms were curved with muscle. He looked to be in his early 50s, with a solid, lined face, a silver-gray goatee, and long gray hair held back in a scalp lock. He wore a set of battered and shapeless furs, held in at the waist with a wide leather belt. His leather boots were starting to come apart at the stitching. He wore thick golden armlets and heavy metal rings on his fingers. He carried a long sword and a leather scabbard hanging down his back, and a gun of unfamiliar design hung on his hip. Overall, he gave an impression of strength at rest, and with his eyes closed, he looked only as though he was thinking for a moment, and might at any time open his eyes and look around.
So that's him.
Owen jumped despite himself. He hadn't heard her move up alongside him. The others gathered around the silver pillar of light, giving it plenty of room just in case. They seemed impressed by the room, if not the man. Owen found himself thinking of an insect caught in amber. This is him. Owen was careful to keep his voice calm and even. The Deathstalker. The original Deathstalker, founder of my clan. We still sing songs about his valor and his exploits, though the Empire banned them long ago. He's been here over 900 years, waiting for someone to come for him. Waiting, while the wheel turned and the Empire moved on without him.
He doesn't look like much. I could take him.
Are we really going to wake him? He's been asleep a long time, and things have changed. He might find it very difficult to adapt. He was a warrior, and some things haven't changed at all. Family, loyalty, betrayal. I think he'll fit in quite well. Besides, we need him. Owen stepped forward and thrust his hand bearing his father's ring into the shimmering silver column. The light blazed up blindingly, and Owen had to turn his head away. He tried to fall back from it, but his hand was held firmly in the light. A slow rumble of power filled the chamber, as though ancient engines were awakening to life again. The floor shook, and icicles broke off from the ceiling, plunging down like swords. Then, the silver light snapped off, gone so suddenly it was as though it had never been there. Owen looked back at his ancestor, standing there before him. The man's chest rose and fell slowly, and then he lifted his head and opened his eyes. They were a surprisingly mild gray, but his gaze was firm and direct. He studied Owen for a moment, and then shook his head. I don't know you, but you bear my ring. Are you family, boy?
Yes, sir. I'm Owen Deathstalker, your descendant. I am first of the clan, though the present Empress has tried to strip that from me and declared me outlaw. I need your help, kinsman. The Empire has turned on me, as it did on you. It is time to take up the sword again.
Maybe. How long have I slept?
943 years, kinsman.
Oh, things changed much since my day.
Surprisingly little, kinsman. The essentials are still the same. I've studied the Empire's past. I'm a historian. The older man gave Owen a hard look.
What kind of occupation is that for a Deathstalker? What campaigns have you fought in? How many wars?
None, actually. I'm not really the warrior type. The Deathstalker shook his head slowly.
I've been gone too long. The blood's grown thin. Let's get out of here, boy. Too damn cold here for my liking. Reminds me of the grave. And call me Giles. It was my name long before I gave my clan the name Deathstalker.
He headed for the door, giving the others just enough time to get out of the way. Owen hurried after him, and the others scrambled to keep up with him.
Historian. Tell me, how much has science advanced in my absence? Are you still using disruptors?
Yes, sir. The Empire has kept a careful control on science and progress down the centuries. This helps to keep things stable and reserves what advances are made for the ruling classes. Just another way to keep power. We still use disruptors. Recharge is down to 2 minutes now.
I suppose that's an improvement. Energy guns, flashy things. Powerful, but limited. Projectile weapons are much more versatile. But they were already being phased out of the Empire when I had to leave in a hurry. The aristocracy wanted them stamped out. Too easy to make, too easy to use. And far too much power to be left in the hands of the lower classes. Energy weapons are difficult to make, and very expensive. So they replace projectile guns, and the only effective weapons end up the property of the ruling classes and their enforcers. Good thinking. But I never believed in it, so I never went along with it. Which is at least partly why I ended up here.
He stopped before the portal, snapped,
"Armory!"
and then stepped through and vanished. Owen looked at the others. Well, what do you think? Do we follow him?
He's your ancestor. Can we trust him?
I don't know. He's not what I expected. Put it this way, what other choice do we have? We can't even find our way out of this place without him. Randon stepped through the transfer portal, and the others followed him. There was the usual sudden shift from one view to another, and then Owen stopped dead in his tracks and looked about him. He was in another great hall, stretching away before him for as far as he could see, but here the walls were covered with more kinds of weapons than he'd ever seen in his life. There were handguns and rifles of all shapes and sizes, including several it would have taken 2 men to carry. None of them looked to be energy guns.
What the hell are they?
Projectile weapons. I've seen some of these in the older archive records. They were effective and efficient, but no damn use at all against force shields. They were also no match for the range and accuracy of energy guns. That's why the old style of weapon was replaced by the new, officially.
Shot for shot, they were right. A disruptor can outperform any projectile weapon. But on the other hand, they don't have to stop and recharge between shots for 2 minutes. You can fire over and over again, as long as your ammunition holds out. You'd be surprised how much damage you can do when you're firing 1,000 rounds a second. I have a gun here for every occasion, small and large. There are weapons here that can assassinate a single man in a crowd from up to 2 miles away, and others that could take out a whole town.
Unless they have force shields. Giles grinned at him.
That's better, boy. At least you can think like a warrior. Force shields are fine, but they also have a built-in limitation. They only last as long as their energy crystals hold out. Once they've been drained by constant use, it takes forever to recharge them. So all you have to do is maintain a steady stream of fire, wait for the shields to go down, and then charge right in.